Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Bills Wire podcast. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your interchangeable hosts, alongside my man, Jeremy. How's it going, Jeremy?
Hey, Matt. What's going on? How you doing?
Good. Glad we got to connect again.
Yeah, of course. Happy to co-host this episode with you on Championship Sunday. Should be an exciting day to see who gets to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, a lot of good games. I mean, I think regardless who wins, it's going to be a great Super Bowl. If it's, you know, Kansas City against New Orleans or Kansas City against the Rams again, you know, just great potential. Or even New England versus any of those two teams. So it's, yeah, it's going to be good football. So I'm always excited for a good football game.
I woke up this morning, thinking about, man, what if the Bills were playing in this game? And then my mind went to, like, what do they need to get to this level? And obviously they need Josh Allen to pan out because Mahomes has been balling out this year, MVP of the league, and has led his team, obviously, to this stage. But I just woke up this morning, Matt, thinking about what are the Bills missing? And the first thought, obviously, is quarterback, but just other things that these teams have that brought them to that level. If you look at all the coaches coaching in this game, too, you have superior, you know, top coaches in the league. And the biggest question marks right now for the Bills are, is Sean McDermott, you know, the real deal as a head coach? And can Josh Allen pan out? So that's what I woke up this morning thinking about, hoping that one day we can say in the affirmative that these guys are on that level.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great point. It's a great thought. Of course, being, you know, the Bills guys that we are, we want to see them there. Yeah, John, the thing that I'm not going to say it's going to hurt Josh Allen, but he did not. Well, I guess some of these other guys didn't. I mean, Josh's, well, in Patrick Mahomes' case, you know, he got to sit behind a great and underrated quarterback like Alex Smith and develop, and he became, you know, eventually became his own identity. Where, sure, you know, Josh is going to, he has, you know, guys, they're vets, they're great, you know, great players. They wouldn't be in the NFL if they weren't, but they're not like those guys that carried a team for years and years. You know what I mean?
Yep, for sure. So I don't know where, there's some offseason news already with the team, with signing Lorenzo back, this past week, and Jeremiah Searles, not a huge signing there. But Lorenzo, I think, is for the fan base. I think he's become a fan favorite. And it's good to see kind of the Bills take priority of re-signing the guys that they want to have back early. And, you know, saw this point made by WGR Salvapacho about maybe they want to get all these things done first so that they can, you know, eventually have a better game plan going into free agency, which makes a lot of sense, right? You don't want, like, the guys you want to bring back just floating out there available to other teams if you really want them on your roster next season.
No, 100%. You want a little consistency as well, too, going into next year.
Yeah, and I think they're, for such a young team, you know, you still have really young guys on this roster for the most part. To bring back a vet like Lorenzo is pretty stabilizing. I don't know if Searles will get a look as a starter, but he provides, I think, good quality depth on your line, and competing for a roster spot in competition, you know, is something McDermott always preaches too. So I thought, like, those could just be like underrated small things that Bean got accomplished before, you know, the playoffs ended here. That could be, you know, prove pretty big here next year when we're looking at November, December games.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. A little slow start, but I figured, yeah, once the Super Bowl ends and you know, those teams, free agents, you know, become available and trades can be offered, that's when things are really going to pick up as far as acquiring talent. I think Justin posted an article. I think it was Justin. It was considering why we shouldn't, like, pick up a guy like Antonio Brown, which I thought was interesting too. We shouldn't trade for him. And there were some valid points. I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago as, you know, some of my reasons. But there's a there's a lot of talent out there. Bills have the picks, the capital to be able to make some big moves here. And I've said it 100 times on the show as well. You know, this is a defining off season for Brandon Bean, seeing what he can do with that cap space.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they spend the money. And what I mean there is how they allocate it, right? In free
Yes.
agency. I'm wondering if they're going to do they spend it on skilled players like receiver and running back and defensive back, kind of those skilled players, or are they going to use that big money to address offense and defensive line a little bit, mostly offensive line, but they're going to go after the big guys up front. That's going to be interesting to see how they want to allocate and prioritize the positions that they want on their cap to take up the most space. More so than the players, I'm interested to see how they want to allocate that those funds.
No, absolutely. I think it's you got to find a happy medium with it too. I'm not sure what the free agent market really is looking like right now. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is obviously going to be the biggest one, available for teams to pick up. But you got to find a happy balance. Find some, young guys for the offensive line. I like to allude to Indianapolis's rebuild quite a bit, and what they did with the draft and all the space. They flipped their roster over, more than half just about a year ago, and they got a nice young offensive line, big Quentin Nelson, and they're going to be set for a while as long as they stay. They got young guys. They're as long as they stay healthy going forward, they're going to be set. So I think the draft might be the best. Personally, I think the draft might be the best personal route to start building up that line. And using that capital to gain some the best talent you can that's on the market.
Yeah. How do you feel about any of those guys from Pittsburgh, either Le'Veon or Antonio? I know that, for me, if one or two of them or just one of those guys ended up as a Bill, I wouldn't, I'd be a little hesitant in terms of what they would be doing, kind of bucking the trend of going after players that have questionable decision making and past kind of team oriented. They seem a little bit more like me guys. Seem like Brandon Bean or McDermott type of players, but nonetheless, they are star caliber. I'm curious what your take is in terms of if the Bills were to actually really consider bringing one of those guys on the team.
No, I mean, you kind of said it yourself, and I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks this. And obviously, Justin's article proves that. You got to be careful. Sometimes character outweighs talent, I think. And with a guy like Antonio Brown, he's so talented. But now we're seeing all these reports come out about his selfishness and stuff like that. And the last thing Josh Allen needs, if he doesn't hit Antonio Brown on a big potential touchdown, is a Gatorade cooler whipped at him or a foot. You know what I mean? Like, just
Right.
that stuff
I also
bothers
think,
me.
yeah. No, I was also going to say, I just think the Vontae Davis episode last year probably makes the Bills' whole organization gun shy about going after anyone who's somewhat selfish in their
Yes.
behavior. I would think that that episode and just the embarrassment that that caused the organization would steer the Bills clear from that ever happening or potentially ever happening again.
Yeah, I completely agree. And right now, it seems to be a relatively good locker room. You're not hearing too much drama coming out of it anymore. Really, it's been LeSean McCoy stories, social media stuff. But other than that, they have a good young locker room that doesn't seem to be getting into any sort of trouble. And I think that's the kind of atmosphere you want. It makes your job as a coach, as a general manager, a little bit easier. And you got to have that family atmosphere going forward. So with Le'Veon's case is particularly interesting too. He's said some things about Pittsburgh, and he sat out this entire year, which kind of goes against this big tweet he had a couple years ago that it's about the team and not money. It's about playing the game and not about the something along those lines. And it was just ironic that it happened that way this year. But I mean, if he gets paid, is he going to be dependable? That comes into question always too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have just the selfishness or like the non-team mentality with those guys is difficult. I'm glad you brought up Le'Veon and specifically the running back position because I want to talk a little bit about LeSean McCoy and kind of the decision, I guess, the Bills have maybe made of they want him to be a part of next year. But if it were me in charge, I don't know, maybe this is a, I don't know if this is necessarily a hot take or not, but I don't want LeSean McCoy back on this team next year. I would move on from him if I could get like any type of draft pick or compensation for him and try to move on. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think that losing LeSean McCoy, you're going to like you take away such a playmaker, and he may have some of those capabilities still left in the tank, but you know, move on to somebody younger, move on to somebody or a couple of guys in the back. You know, you see this, the Chiefs with Damian Williams stepping in, you know, guys like that. This just happens all the time in the league. It's well documented that running backs are pretty replaceable to fit in schemes that you devise. And with a new offensive line coach, with a new shifting in the coaching staff there on the offensive line, just start over with a new running game and a new running back feature.
I definitely think that could and should be done. I mean, LeSean averaged, I think it was a career low average of yardage, maybe 3.2 yards a carry, which is, you know, that's not stellar at all, especially for a guy of the caliber of athlete that we know he can be. And then you see these guys like Lamar Miller down in Houston. Houston had a terrible offensive line as well, and he still had a really good year. Adrian Peterson is, you know, I think he might be a few years older than McCoy, but that offensive line let three quarterbacks get hurt this year with season-ending injuries, and he still had a really good year. So I think it's time to move on from LeSean. The experiment is done. Unfortunately, you're not going to get much in trade value, I do not think. I think they missed the boat. I think Philadelphia was interested in him. Was it last season? Yeah. So and that didn't pan out. So, yeah, I think it's time to move on. Find somebody younger. Explore the draft. You never know. You might pick up a young free agent who just needs a new home, a fresh start, and they may take off and do you wonders. So,
well, you know, Chris Ivory just blatantly outperformed LeSean McCoy last year. And
he was great. He was so dependable.
And it was not really that close of who was the better running back. You know, obviously the best runner on the team was their quarterback, and I'm sure the Bills don't want to have that. I think LeSean could be successful, right? I think if they do get a good offensive line, they do want to bring him back. Like, it's not out of the question that he's, you know, not going to be better than he was last year. I don't know how he could be much worse. But if it were me, though, I would just say, hey, thank you, and we try to move on and get, you know, a very late draft pick for him if you can. If you can't, then keep him and see what he's got. But if someone offers you a pick and you have a better option, you know, a younger option, or you know, someone else kind of be a two-headed monster with Ivory next year, I think that'd be my play.
But yeah, I wouldn't run as far as him being a running back one. I think that's he's got to fight for it right now, especially after this last season, without a doubt.
Yeah, he just seems disinterested, like that term or that word fight. Like, it just seems like he didn't really have it.
And, no.
You know, I think he does train hard. I think he does work pretty hard. His work ethic, I don't think, has ever been questioned, but it just seemed like, you know, from afar on, you know, as fans watching him play, it just seemed like he was pretty disinterested and frustrated last year. And, you know, that's when someone's mentally, you know, kind of feeling on the struggle bus like that, then, you know, maybe it's just time for a fresh start and try someone who's, you know, more engaging.
It's probably for the best. It's a shame too, because, you know, he gave Josh Allen a stamp of approval, which he never does for rookies. And he seemed to develop a great rapport with him, you know, helping him and, you know, you see him high fiving and doing all these goofy handshakes and stuff on the sidelines. And that's, you know, that's important in the development of Josh Allen, little things like that. But, you know, other than that, I just don't see it as a definite running back one value anymore.
All right. Other positions that you're going to keep an eye on, Matt, this offseason, other than, you know, maybe the receiving group, we can talk about that a little bit. Where you see them going there? I think they obviously recognize they need to get Josh Allen more weapons. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Robert Foster. I think they obviously want him on the team, but how they view him, right? Like, is he, do they want him as like one of the top two or three receivers on the team next year, or is he just kind of a supplemental fourth, fifth receiver guy that comes in for, you know, to run nine routes and streaks down the field to get the playbook open a little bit? I'm just wondering how the Bills really view him going into next season.
Yeah, and I really liked him as well. He was pretty dependable this year. As long as Zay stepped up huge, you know, we pretty much did not have a wide receiver one all year. No matter what Kelvin Benjamin was on the depth chart, he was not a wide receiver one by any means. But yeah, I really liked him. I would like to see him on the team going forward, developing, and he's still got to work. He's still got to work to improve and hold on to a starter spot. But yeah, Buffalo definitely needs to, try and trade. I think Golden Tate is going to be a free agent. I know they traded him. Detroit traded him to Philly. So yep. I would like them acquiring him.
I think they do need kind of a good mix of like youth through the draft, one or two guys in the draft, wherever in the position. But I think they also need some more veterans out there. I mean, you have, Robert Foster, who's an undrafted free agent. Zay is still young. Most of the veterans, like they brought in Jeremy Curley last year, didn't make the roster. So like a lot of the veterans aren't even, on the team anymore. Kelvin Benjamin obviously is gone too. So you got to have some sort of veteran presence, I think, at the position. It'll be interesting to see how that all comes together with the receiving group. And another position kind of coupled with that is the tight end position. And this team, I don't think since really Chan Gailey, when they had Fitzpatrick throwing to Scott Chandler, has been very prolific in terms of the tight end position. And I would even say like Scott Chandler was prolific, but you could usually in the red zone, count on him to get you a couple of scores. But the tight end position, Matt, for me is a position that I played in college and, a position that I really try to track and watch. I'm fascinated by the evolution of it, how these guys are like Gronkowski, who, too big for a safety to cover, but too fast for linebackers. And just like, I just love the matchups that tight ends can present.
Yes.
And the Bills haven't had one that's just been like a bona fide stud at that spot for a long time. And as you know, that could be a quarterback's best friend. And so I'm really looking forward to them, either drafting a guy high at that position or, bringing in or trading for someone that can step up and turn into like a very good tight end, because the Bills really need that position secured.
They do. I mean, Tyrod had a great rapport with Charles Clay a couple years ago. There was a point where I think Charles Clay was his like number one target at the time. But I mean, look right now at the AFC Championship game. Two of the most utilized tight ends in the league right now, two of the top, Rob Gronkowski, Jesus, man, I'm tired, and Travis Kelce are there. They're, it's big. I mean, not so much on the NFC side of things, but tight ends can be, used very effectively, in pass blocking and, run blocking or on the receiving end. So,
right.
Yeah, tight end is another crucial one. There's so much. It's more so the offense than the defense. Yeah, they do. The offense needs a lot more help than the defense, I personally feel.
Well, you're throwing all of your prospects and basically, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's tenure as Bill's GM and coach will depend on if Josh Allen pans out. So they need to surround him with the best offensive talent that they can, for the team's sake, of course, number one, but for also for them to keep their jobs. Like they know that they have to surround Josh Allen with better talent than they did this year. And Josh was playing a lot of hero ball because he didn't have much talent. So, and to avoid injury, to just make his life easier, they're going to have to, and I think they will, sign guys, trade for guys, draft players on the offensive side to make that better, because the defense does look pretty promising. I would say the one glaring defensive hole that they're going to try to fill is a little bit up front, losing Kyle Williams, and then trying to find a second cornerback that can go opposite of Trey White. I think the Bills will try to covet you know, either somebody in free agency or in the draft to kind of help be another lockdown corner on the opposite side. Last year when they had, you know, a couple of guys step up, you know, like Ryan Lewis and a couple of young guys played pretty well, actually. And I think they found a good nickel corner and Taron Johnson, but they're going to need to find somebody else opposite of Trey White that they can rely on too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Trey White is fantastic, but yeah, a little bit more dependable back there as well. So very good. Though. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, there's a lot. This offseason is fun. This offseason is going to be fun. It's slowly coming together. You know, we hired Buffalo had a offensive line coach, right? The guy from the Colts.
Yes.
Oh, what's his name?
Yep, hired a new offensive line coach. They went young with their offensive, which just McDermott's staff. I mean, he brought a lot of guys with experience when he first took the head coaching position, but has since kind of reversed that to bringing guys that have little to no experience, because I think he's probably a lot more comfortable as a head coach, right? So,
oh, he's got
to
be.
He's able to bring guys in that, you know, are probably very good at what they do, good teachers, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, McDermott has a better handle of how to be a head coach. And I think, you know, having Leslie Frazier on his staff, former head coach, of course, Brian Daboll with all of his years in the league with the Chiefs and a little bit with the Patriots too. And I think he's got a good staff on hand. So, yeah, I think it's funny, Matt. To me, the off season can be just as fun or even more fun than the regular season game day. I love player movement. I love seeing how rosters are built. You know, obviously, I'd like a better record for the team and them to be playing today on Championship Sunday, but I also just love the strategy and the you know, moves that teams have to make to try to improve their roster. I think,
yeah,
you know, fans, that's exciting.
It brings a certain bit of optimism and hope, you know, because obviously you can't just leave the roster the way it was and go into next season and expect fans to quote unquote believe. You know, you got to make roster moves and see how different people pan out. And you never know. There's so many diamonds in the rough, you know, free agents who step up. And like we've talked about all episode, they just need a fresh start. And, you know, they get motivated. And who knows what their season will become in Buffalo. So, yeah, the offseason, always interesting. I'm excited once the Super Bowl is done, what to see all the major moves that come with it. Any big trades, who knows? Buffalo's not afraid to get what they want. That's for sure. I like Bean's attitude.
He's definitely an aggressive general manager, and we've seen that with the amount of trades and moves that he's made just in a short stint with the team. So I would not expect that to change. If anything, I'd expect that to ramp up. There's a lot of opportunities, the draft, opening of free agency, the time in between, and then all the tinkering during, you know, OTAs, mini camps, and you know, I just thoroughly enjoy the off season, and I like it too to see kind of what other teams do, because, you know, what other teams decide to do of course affects how the Bills can operate. So just the whole league wide player movement to me, like, where is Nick Foles going to play next year?
That's important. Where's Joe Flacco going to go? Stuff like that. Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's it's a good time. It's relaxing. Yeah, and unfortunately, no football games on TV. But everything else, it's good from a, you know, for us, for Bills Wire, to see that stuff and be able to analyze and create takes and stories and all sorts of you know, theories and whatnot. They give us material.
Exactly.
All right. Perfect. I think that about does it. Anything else?
No, I think it's a pretty solid wrap. No real big news to report from the Bills other than these, like, minor, you know, one-year deals with Lorenzo and Jeremiah Searles and Sean McDermott, you know, reportedly filling out his staff. There's not a whole lot of Bills moves to be made yet, but that will soon change, right? As soon as the Super Bowl's over and we start a new league year in March, I think I know fans are looking forward to that, and I know that we're looking forward to it at Bills Wire to covering it and, you know, providing that analysis for all the fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Jeremy, thank you so
Thanks.
much. We
Yeah, man, thanks for having me up.
whipped this episode together pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, for
very
sure.
good. So,
All right,
thank you,
man.
everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. On behalf of Jeremy and I, we'll talk to you real soon on the Bills Wire Podcast.